Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Krishnaya vasudevaya.
Krishnaya vasudevaya.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Devaki Nandanaya cha.
Nandagopa Kumaraya.
Nandagopa Kumaraya.
Govindaya namo namaha.
Govindaya namo namaha.
Go ahead. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Please repeat. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Please listen carefully. The Lord, being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on the earth as he is in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. In the Rama incarnation, he remained a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was the son of a king, he had once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudeva and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yashoda Mai to play the part of an ordinary coward boy in the blessed Brajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother, Vasudeva, and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes. What does that mean? There's no parallel. No?
No other pastime. Comparison?
Yes. There is no other pastimes of when the Lord comes that are equal to his childhood pastimes. Now, when I finish reading the purport, please ask me why. There's no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited in Brajabhumi. Oh, Prabhupada answers it. Which are the prototype. What does prototype mean again? Excuse me?
Model.
Yes. A model. Another word is facsimile, practically. They're equal to, or they're exhibiting his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Sri Krishna descended himself at Brajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So interesting. That's another point. You can bring that one up. Say, why is that so interesting to you? Okay? Okay. Thank you. So you have an important service. Who will ask why? That's Prakash Javitsri. His pastimes with Nanda and Yashoda and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. Om Agnatam Inandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Satsusimilatam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Inva Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Jena Mutale Sayam Nupakaramayam Dadati Svapandanti Vansha Kapatubhyas Cha Kripasana Vayyuri Cha Pratitanam Savinibhyo Vaishnavayya Namo. Okay, let's begin.
Why?
Why what?
Why are the residents of Brajabhumi so fortunate?
Why are Krishna's pastimes
in Vrindavan
unparalleled? Why are they unequal to anything else? Because here, what Krishna displays in Vrindavan, as Srila Prabhupada said, they are exactly what goes on in the spiritual world. And how will we be able to transfer our consciousness from this realm, which doesn't give true satisfaction, but yet it is here, it is what we see, it's what we touch and feel. How will we be able to transfer our consciousness from here to a higher platform unless we know what that higher platform is like, what goes on there, unless it attracts our consciousness? So Krishna, out of his kindness, out of his causeless mercy, he displays his pastimes, his activities, his lila, his transcendental actions, the same transcendental actions, spiritual actions, purely ecstatic actions that go on in the eternal realm of Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. He displays those on this earth so that we can hear about them and try to enter deeply into them and understand the dealings between Krishna and his dearmost devotees, the residents in Vrindavan. And why, as Krishna, how is it possible that the all-powerful Supreme Lord, who is the Lord, the Creator, the Lord, the Maintainer, the Destroyer, everything is going on by his Shaktis, by his energies. How is it possible, as in text 31, we shall soon read, that this all-powerful Lord who enforces the laws of material nature with just mama anksha tejo sambhava, a small portion of his power, he's making this material world work. How is it possible? He's enforcing death upon every living entity in a material body. How is it possible that this all-powerful Supreme Lord, who from his skin-hole universe has come, how is it possible when the mother Yasoda is going like this to him and chastising him, he's fearful and crying, and tears are running down out of his cheeks, out of his fear? How is that possible? This conception of the Supreme Personality, of God, of the Godhead, of the Absolute Truth, is so fine and conceptually superior. This understanding of the Supreme Lord as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Bhakta Vatsalya Atma Parjangda Vadanyata, he's even controlled by the devotion of his devotees, is unparalleled. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, amazingly enough, he wanted thousands and thousands of Krishna books distributed, because he had confidence that if people read with an open mind this book and understand this book, which presents Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that people would become attracted. They would immediately discern that this understanding of the Supreme Lord is most appealing, most powerful, most complete, most complete. So therefore he wanted thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of Krishna books distributed, because he explains everything in a way that everyone can understand. So why? The answer to why is what? Usually the answer to why is why not? But in this case, it's what's the answer to why? Why are the Vrindavan pastimes unparalleled? Because of their sweetness, but specifically, according to what I was just saying, and Prabhupada had said here, they are the prototype of the activities in the eternal realm. And therefore, we have to hear this, otherwise our consciousness will remain here. And they are unparalleled because of their sweetness, which means the intimacy of the Lord and his beloveds are revealed in these pastimes. And they are enchanting, captivating. Because this is what everyone is actually looking for. But we're looking in the land of reflections, in the land of shadows. Well, the actual, what chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes the material world as a reflection? 15. And Srila Prabhupada says in a purport that our situation in the material world is based upon our desire, just as the reflection of the tree is situated on water. Just consider that point. Our situation in the material world is based on our desire. That means that if we change our desires, we will change our situation. Naturally, because our situation in the material world is situated on our desires, just as the reflection of the tree is situated on water. So that's why it's so important to hear about Krishna. Because by hearing about Krishna, by hearing about all that negative stuff about the material world, by hearing about Krishna's wonderful pastimes, how he cares for his devotee, how he protected Ambarish Maharaj, how he protected, who else did he protect? Who? The Pandavas, yes, thank you. Who else did he protect? Pralad. Who? Pralad Maharaj, yes. Who else did he protect? Huh? Gajendra. Good. Who else did he protect? Radhavani. Who?
Radhavani.
When did he protect Radhavani?
When he was a boy, he's going through the forest and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you even appeared before him. But let me ask you a question. Did he protect Indra? Or did he protect... Or did he protect Bali Maharaj? Yes, that's a good answer. That may, you can't go wrong with that answer. Did he protect Indra? Or did he protect Bali Maharaj? Or did he protect both? Or didn't he protect either? Huh? Yeah. When did he protect Indra from pride? Govanan, certainly, when Krishna lifted Govanan Hill. How did he protect Indra from pride? By destroying his pride. You think that was pleasant for Indra? It certainly wasn't. But first he was so angry at Krishna and the Brajavasis and Nandamaraj for neglecting him. And he said, you dare to do this to me? I will show you who you are dealing with. So he sent the clouds down and they poured and he was going to destroy all of Vrindavan. And Krishna, with no effort, lifted up Govanan Hill with the little finger of his left hand and he gave shelter to all the residents of Vrindavan. He gave shelter to the cows, all the cowherd men, the cowherd ladies with their possessions. And while he was doing that, he was touching Giriraj with that finger, and Giriraj was feeling so much ecstasy by that. And even though Indra was throwing down Vajra, you know what a Vajra is? Thunderbolts, lightning bolts. And hitting Giriraj again and again with them. Giriraj, Srila Kavikarnapur explains, that Giriraj was experiencing the fragrance of Krishna's breathing, his breath, as he was holding the hill. And because he was in so much ecstasy, he did not experience any inconvenience, in the most inconvenience of circumstances. So Indra, watching this, he used all his power on Krishna and he couldn't do anything, and Krishna was effortlessly lifting the hill and he was enjoying himself like anything, and all the cowherd men and cows were enjoying themselves just staring at Krishna, because this is what they always wanted to be. They wanted to be in Krishna's association, and Krishna arranges this pastime so that everyone could just look at Krishna and become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And during that whole time there was no disturbance by hunger or thirst or tiredness or anything else. They were just completely absorbed in this beautiful, beautiful Krishna who was theirs, their village boy. It was like one big family in a sense. That's what a village is like. Everyone, all the good sides of that and the bad sides of that, everyone knows each other's business too. But they were just, he was just theirs, their boy, their Krishna. It's like living, they were usually in the village of Vrindavan, it was like living in the same house with Krishna, because he would come out and in and out of his house, take the cows out, come back with the cows, with the boys and everything. And this time they would just have the opportunity to just become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Everyone, and even the Braja Gopikas, the little Gopi girls, could stare at Krishna and no one could complain, because everyone was staring at Krishna because he was holding up the hill. So Krishna was exhibiting these wonderful pastimes, which allow us a glimpse of what the spiritual world is like. It's all about absorption, full, natural, spontaneous, complete absorption in the most beautiful, wonderful person, Krishna. Everyone is absorbed in him and fully satisfied doing so. And all the pastimes that go on, they absorb everyone's consciousness. When the cowherd boys come back with Krishna from the cowherding at, what's the name of that time of day? Does anyone know the Sanskrit term for that time of day? No, it's before Sanya. Sanya is the junction between the sunrise, so they don't come back so late. But it's a specific time that, and if you go to Vrindavan at that time, it's just before. It's just like a dusk, but a little bit earlier. But just, everything becomes very quiet and still, and there's a special little bit of sweetness in the atmosphere. But that Krishna at that time is coming home. And all the cowherd boys, Gita Kirti, they are singing his glories of what Krishna did during the day. They make it into songs, what Krishna did. And they sing those songs as they're coming back. And Krishna is in front with the cows. So why is Krishna in front? Why isn't he behind? Sometimes, of course, he's behind the cows. But usually he stays in the front of the cows. Why? And plays his flute. Why does he stay in the front? That's a wonderful speculation. Of course he's doing that. Very good. But why? Yeah. Because if Krishna was behind, the cows wouldn't move forward. Because he's so attractive and everyone loves him. Everything about him is attractive. Maduram, maduram, vapu, apu, vas, madhu. Everything is sweet about him. His hands, his fingers are sweet. His toes are sweet, and they're compared to moons due to their effulgence. The soles of his feet are sweet, pinkish and sweet, leaving their impressions on the soft dust of Vrindavan. Everything about Krishna is so sweet. He's all attractive. And he protects everyone. That's what the residents of Vrindavan do, because Gaugacharya said, Narayana samo gunai. But he's equal to Narayana. And he said, Sarva Durgani. That from all difficulties he will give you protection. Anena Sarvadogani Yunjan Asya Parishita. That you take shelter of him. He told Nanda Maharaj this. So all the residents of Vrindavan, anytime there was difficulty, they would just simply take shelter of Krishna. So if we want to go to Vrindavan, we can't go with this gross body, because everyone's body there is eternal and no veins and all kinds of funny things that this kind of body has. But not only can't we go with the gross body, we can't go with our subtle body, because the gross body is based on the subtle body. We can't go with a false ego. We have to go with a different type of consciousness. So Krishna is showing his activities when he comes that are unparalleled, and he's showing the consciousness that it takes to take part in those activities, the consciousness of the spiritual world, and it's all based on Krishna. It's called Krishna consciousness. It's all based on everyone is spontaneously and naturally absorbed in thinking how to please the most beloved. So sadhana bhakti, this is called sadhya bhakti, sadhya, the conclusion or the goal. But sadhana bhakti, or the practices of bhakti, are meant for us to develop Krishna consciousness, deep love for Krishna. So of course we don't jump over and make believe. We shouldn't at all in any way be pretentious. We should be simple and sincere, but we should know what the goal is. And we should not only know what the goal is, we should know what the next step that we must take is in this journey to Krishna. It is a journey. And we want to keep Krishna with us always. So the residents of Vrindavan, because of what Gagamuni said, that Anena Savadagani Yamjananya Tristita, you will cross over the ocean of any obstacles by the power of this wonderful boy. The residents of Vrindavan would always take shelter of him whenever there is a difficulty. So if we want to be in Vrindavan, we have to learn this art, Gokshipte Varanandata, of taking shelter of Krishna in all difficulties. And that is one of the great opulences of the material world, that it will always provide you with unlimited opportunities in the form of difficulties to take shelter of Krishna. The material world is so wonderful, isn't it? It will always give us so many opportunities in the form of difficulties to take shelter of Krishna. Isn't that wonderful? What a great place to get out of. What's an example of the residents of Vrindavan or anyone in the Bhagavatam in difficulty in taking shelter of Krishna? Who can think of an example? Prahlad Maharaj. What did he do?
He always remembered Krishna.
He was always engaged in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And therefore, even though he was in the most dangerous of situations, his protector, the one who was going to protect him, the father for a young boy, was trying to kill him. What a dangerous situation when the protector becomes the enemy. And you're a helpless boy. And he was never in any anxiety. And that made Hirani Kashipu happy or angry? Guess which one. Because he was so powerful, and all the demigods would even bow down to him, and his boy could stand in front of him even when he was threatening and angry without fear. And he became more and more angry. And he stopped trying to kill Prahlad through others, and he decided he was going to do it himself. But he said, "How could you be fearless? You say that there is someone superior to me. You say that there is someone that you're under the protection of. Everywhere." "Yes, Father." "Well, not Father." He wouldn't call him Father. Asura Varjita, the best of the Asuras, he would call him. "But not Father at this point." And he said, "Well, if he's going to protect you and he's everywhere, is he in that pillar?" "Yes, he's everywhere." And then one of our acharyas say at that point, just to reassure Prahlad, that Nishimidev peeked out. Yes. And interestingly, even though he's everywhere, he still has a form. Now that is inconceivable from the finite material intellectual point of view. It's everywhere, is boundless, but yet Krishna doesn't have any problem being inconceivably powerful. In fact, he is a Chintya Shakti. What is the meaning of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless you have a Chintya Shakti? What is the meaning of a Chintya Shakti? Inconceivable powers and potencies. So Prahlad answered, "Yes, he is there." And Rani Kashipu said, "Then if he's there, before I kill you, I'm going to kill him." And then he
He pulled out his sword to kill Prahlad, and he struck the pillar with his fist, and we all know the happy ending. The Supreme Lord has such wonderful ways of, so graphic ways of doing things. He killed Hiranyakashipu, and then he took his intestines and put it around his neck as a garland. How cool is that? What's another example of Krishna protecting his devotees? Prabhupada was one example too. He said that when he was crossing the ocean on the Jaladutta, Krishna came to him in a dream, even though he had heart attacks. And he said, "Don't worry, I'm protected." Prabhupada was being protected all the time, and therefore he was so brave. He knew that. One time Prabhupada, they were walking in Calcutta, Prabhupada was walking in Calcutta with the devotees, and they passed Victoria Memorial. Raise your hand if you've seen Victoria Memorial. Yeah. How big is it?
Huge, big sir.
Big, and how high?
About 100 meters.
That's high. And Prabhupada remembered that when he was a boy, they were just building it. And there was scaffolding made out of bamboo. Yes, very practical. And Prabhupada said when he was a boy, he climbed to the top of it on the scaffolding. And one of the devotees said, "Oh, you were very brave then, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, he replied, "I still am brave. Otherwise, how could I have come here alone? Come to the West alone? Abhai Charan, Charananavinda." Very brave, fixed in the shelter. Another example of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna turning to Krishna for protection from the Bhagavatam. I'm thinking of one.
Prabhupada in the Hindu match?
Yeah. Is that in the Bhagavatam?
It's mentioned.
Jyotpali put both hands in the air, called out to Krishna. Her relationship with Krishna is considered more intimate than any of the other Pandavas. She was such a devotee, and she was fiery by nature. She called out to Krishna. Krishna protected her. That's one of those dramatic parts of the Mahabharata, to hear how they insulted Draupadi, Duryodhana. Had so much enmity in his heart to the Pandavas. He just tried to insult her in so many ways, and Dushyant insulted her, and even pointed to, he took his dhoti up and said that now your hours, come and sit on my lap. Bhima was coming, but Yudhisthira was just, and they wouldn't do anything because Yudhisthira was so fixed in his righteousness. None of the Pandavas, they all wanted to. Bhima was saying, "Give Yudhisthira, if you allow me, I'll annihilate the entire. There won't be a Kuru left on this planet." He was so angry, and he vowed, "I will kill you. I will break that thigh." And he told Dushyant, "I will break your, I will rip your heart out for the moon's heart." It was quite a heavy intellectual. And Yudhisthira, and then he was so respectful to Dhritarashtra. And then Dhritarashtra, nobody appealed. He returned everything to the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra, he realized this was very bad. But this was the seed of Kurukshetra. It was Krishna's arrangement in that sense. But oh, heavy, very heavy. Another time, I was thinking something A little less heavy than that, but still quite dramatic. So anyone, can anyone who's good at reading minds here? Anyone? What am I thinking of?
Which one?
Huh? That's true. Yes, well, how did he protect him? Yeah, the chakra. And he used this opportunity to reveal, because when Durvasa Muni went to Lord Narayan to beg, it was his Sudarshan Chakra, he said, Aswatantra, I'm not independent. I cannot take this chakra from following you. I'm not independent. Aswatantra. I'm not independent. He was revealing how dependent he is on his devotees. What a relationship. What a conception of what the God is, Paramishwara. It's so attractive. He's not a dictator. The Supreme Lord is not a dictator who's, you know, I like this one, therefore he wins the lotto. I don't like this one, and a piano falls on his head. He's just up there, and he's with some kind of psychological problem, and therefore people pray to him, he gives them good things, and if people don't pray to him, all kinds of bad things happen. No. He's Bhakta Vatsalya. This is all samoham sarvabhuteshu going on. This is just people getting the reactions of their previous karma. He's quite neutral in this. It's not him who's doing it. He set up the system, and then he tells us the difference between right and wrong, but he's not the one giving it. It's the law giving the reactions. Yes, I'm Rishmaraj. Who else?
Arjuna. Krishna breaking his promise.
Yeah. Very heavy one.
You see, if you
wait. Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Matsavatar.
Says what?
See, if you get it.
Yeah.
Then we go back to Lord Bohr.
Yeah, Lord Bohr. Yeah, Brahma. Now I'll also tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking of the cowherd boys. When they were, after the killing of Palambasura, and actually, you know, after the killing of Palambasura, Kamsa was always sending spies, because by this time he knew that it was Krishna who was the eighth son of Devaki, who was thinking, as Durga Devi had said, taking birth somewhere else. So Kamsa had sent spies, and when they saw the corpse of Palambasura, there were so many spies, they surrounded the area. And by that time, the cows had wandered off. And they had wandered off, and the cowherd boys were looking for their cows. And Krishna was even looking for his cows. And I mentioned this before. Krishna climbed to the top of a hill and took off his pitambara and was waving it in the air, calling his cows. And while the boys had run after the cows, and the cows were far away, and Kamsa's spies, because their hearts were engaged, because they had Kamsa for a master, and they adopted his mood, they had hatred and enmity in their heart for Krishna, thinking of him, because Kamsa was always fearful, afraid of Krishna. So they lit fire. And suddenly, because it was the hot season, the summer season, everything was very dry, and it was Mantavi forest, which means a forest of reeds, dry reeds which are easily ignited. So suddenly the boys and the cows were completely surrounded by a forest fire. Oh!
Is there a 10th canto? Either that or I'll have to. Someone have the it on their phone or something? Yeah, it's 10, 16, 17, 18. And it's a very short chapter, so it's one of the final verses in the Bible. They say something like Krishna, Krishna, Mahamaho. They have the right to call out to Krishna. How could you let this happen to us? Because they had given everything to Krishna and they didn't know anything else other than Krishna and his lotus feet for their life, for their... There was nothing else of importance to them. So they had the full right. Hey Gopal! Hey Gopal! Hey Gopal! Gopal! Now that's a name. Gopal, bet. It's okay? Because one day you're going to have to sit up here and give class, okay? But later, not yet. No, not yet, don't worry. But when it's time for you to give class, it's your heritage. When it's time for you to give class, you'll know so many things and it won't be difficult for you, okay? Okay. Why can't we find the verse? Is that thing broken or something? Oh, that's why. Yes, thank you. Is it 19? Okay. Good, please. Please, read it. Krishna, Krishna, they called out. Mahavira. Oh, you are so powerful. Hey Rama, oh Balaram, Mogra Vigraha. What does that mean? Pure, spotless, pure form. Yes. Hey Rama, Amogra Vigraha, whose prowess cannot be stopped, his power cannot be stopped. They're calling out with full hearts. Oh Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Devagnina, that this forest fire is now blazing and surrounding us. Please, we who are being burned, and we prapanam tratum artata, we who are completely surrendered to you, we know nothing other than you. We are being burned by this fire. Please save us. Please save us. We are surrendered to you, prapanam. Please take care of us. And what did and so there are many things you can say about this. One of them is that one could say, well, who is in the center of this prayer? They just want to be saved. So one could think, oh, that they're thinking of themselves only, but it's not like that. Because when you're talking about the residents of Vrindavan, they're only thinking about being with Krishna and serving Krishna and giving Krishna pleasure there. So if we are destroyed by this forest fire, we won't be able to be with you. We won't be able to serve you. How that's completely intolerable for us. Because they know nothing other than Krishna. Their consciousness is so pure. It's more pure than gold purified in a thousand flames, in the words of Srila Narottama Das Thakur. And they're taking shelter of Krishna. Hey Gopal, hey Gopal, oh Krishna. And then what did Krishna say? What did Krishna do? Oops. Then certainly your own friends shouldn't be destroyed. O knower of the nature of all things, we have accepted you as our Lord, and we are souls completely surrendered to you. And Krishna decided, how is he going to do this? How is he going to save them? There was no question of if he was going to save them, but how is he going to save them? And he asked them to close their eyes. Now, if we think about that, that's quite peculiar. Because we criticize, like the rabbit when he's in danger and running from the hounds. He just closes his eyes, but that doesn't stop the hounds. So the boys were thinking, how is the forest fire surrounding us? How is closing our eyes going to help? And one of the boys said, you don't know. Krishna has so many powers. He knows so many mantras. He knows so many mantras, but when you're dealing with these kind of mantras, you have to say them privately. So we can't say them, he can't say them privately here like that. So he's asking us to close our eyes, so, and then he'll take care of us. And the boys, and there's other reasons also that he, but in any case, they close their eyes, and Krishna, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, or maybe Srila Jiva Goswami, assumed a huge form like a rain cloud. Yes, why did Krishna ask them to close their eyes? It's because he knew that if the boys, he knew what he was going to do. What was he going to do? He was going to swallow the forest fire, and how could the boys tolerate seeing him eating fire? It would be too painful for them. So he asked them to close their eyes. Some in Vrindavan, they also say that because last time he got into so much trouble for Mother Yashoda from eating dirt. So if they saw him eating fire, and then later home, they start going home, they start singing, and today Krishna ate fire, and Mother Yashoda would give him so much trouble, and he didn't want to get into trouble again from Mother Yashoda, because if Krishna was afraid of anyone, it was Mother Yashoda. I mean, he would cry when she would chastise him. So they closed their eyes, and Krishna assumed a form like a huge blackish rain cloud. And at the same time, the forest fire assumed the form and characteristic of a drop of nectar. And Krishna consumed it like a drop. With no difficulty, he protected them. And he also did a second miraculous thing. And that when they opened their eyes, they were in the cool and shade of Bandiravan, the great tree that stretched across the Yamuna where they were playing just moments before, and where Pralambasura, near there, Pralambasura was killed. And there they were, and they opened their eyes, and they saw they were there, and there was no fire, and they saw Krishna was there, they saw Gopal was there, And then they thought, well, were we just dreaming before? What happened? But cowherd boys always, they don't care. They just want to play. So anyway, they gathered their cows. They were hungry. It was time to go home. But Krishna protected them, and they were fully surrendered to Krishna and his protection. We are completely devoted to you. We have you as our Lord. We surrender to you. You like that story? You like that pastime? You like it? Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Or anyone know any other ways? Yes. Krishna.
Yesterday we spoke about that. It's just I find it surprising about that. I find it surprising that it's forbidden. Because in all the past Leela that we've heard, the people who offend Krishna's devotees, he never forgives them. Like Amrita Maharaj is telling, he did not forgive the Vashmani himself. And Prabhupada explains in the battle of Kurukshetra how Kauravas offended the Pandavas earlier, and Arjuna was willing to forgive them. That shows how compassionate he is. But Krishna was not allowing, he did not allow that to happen because they offended his devotees. So even the devotee could say that he was ready to forgive, but Krishna would not forgive because that's the seriousness of Vaishnava Brahma. So under these circumstances, I find it surprising not to forgive him.
Well, the devotees in this case were all the Vrijvasis. And what were they doing for that whole time they were in difficulty? They were just looking at him and having different pastimes with him, and Krishna was glancing at them with their eyes. And they were all with Krishna for 7 days straight without even going to sleep. So they weren't in a mood to think that Indra had offended them. They were just so ecstatic because they were with Krishna. And even when the sun came out and the rain stopped, Krishna told the cows, can anyone make cowherd boy noises? Oh, I'm looking for someone who can do this, who was brought up in a village and knows how to make. The cowherd boys can make, they can speak, there's a special language they can speak with different noises. I've heard them do it. Have you ever heard them do it? They make all kinds of different noises, you know, just different kinds of sounds, but with their tongues, the things that you, unless you can't do it unless you're. And they make, and the cows listen to them in that way. So Krishna indicated to the cowherd, does anyone know how to do those? You know how? You know how to make some? Oh,
Baroda.
You know how? And can you make them come out, like, can you, say if they're in the river, can you make them come out of, how do you get them out of the river? And you can get them to go left and get them to go right. Do you do Sankirtan? The stupid books? You should try that on the people. No one will be able to resist that. Where are you from?
South India.
Yeah? Where? What part?
Hyderabad.
In Vrindavan they speak a different dialect of that though. Yeah, there's so many different things you can say. Yeah?
Yeah,
so many. Do you know many more? But of course now.
My cousins were in the village and they caught like that.
Could you invite them to come and visit us? You're a noble. Now I would attend that seminar. You have to learn these things. You have to learn these things. Otherwise, how will you take care of the cows? The cowherd boy life is really fun. They just go out all day long and then and you see them by the Yamuna, and then when they're hot, they take off their gumsha or something and just jump into the water and they play and splash a while. Then they come out and wrestle a while. And then they, you know, dry off by the sun, and then they just take the cows to somewhere else. Oh! And with Krishna right there, and he also knows how to make those sounds. He's the best at it. So that's the best I can do by answering your question. They would just look. Oh, so the cow, yeah, Krishna indicated to the cows to go out. After that. So they left being obedient to Krishna. Then they looked around when it was time to put down the hill. And then they looked around and saw that Krishna was still there holding up the hill. So then they came right back in immediately. because the happiness was just to be with Krishna. So they didn't. They must not have felt it. But Saravi Kaur said, "I don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. He's not our Indra anymore. Now you are Govinda." He said, "Govinda namo namah." That's where Krishna got the name Govinda. Good question. Yes, and also pastime, of course.
You mentioned before that it's necessary to have a conception of the spiritual world to actually reach that destination. And you also said that it's important to know what the next step is in spiritual life. How do we find that out? How do we go about
which
finding
the next step?
Next step, yeah.
Do you know what the next step in your... I asked you that question when you were in Perth and you told me you knew what it was. Generally we know what the next step... If we ask ourselves, what do I need to do? What's my next step in advancement? Do you know what you should do if you want to take one more step closer to Krishna? Do you know? I mean, not say it, but do you know what it is, what you should do?
Chanting.
Huh?
Chanting.
I couldn't understand. But anyway, but generally we do know what my next step should be, and I'm a little hesitating to do it. But if we don't, there are the devotees to ask, you know, how can Prabhu, I want to take a step forward, a step closer to Krishna. You find trusted devotees and you ask. You know, and you wash the pots. Or something. And then you say, is there anyone else who has an idea of what I should do as my next step? I don't like that one. Yeah, ask the devotees if you don't already know. Ask your Guru Maharaj. But he's quite busy. So the devotees know. You can talk to them, you have a relationship with them. Any other questions? We have another minute or two or one left. Time for an easy question if anyone has one. Do you have any questions, Gopal? Yes. Did you come to Mangalorti this morning? Are you tired now? Are you hungry? Would you like some sweets? No? Oh, that's right. How come you came this time for prasadam? I bet there's a real story behind that one too. No, we won't even ask about it. Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Sisi Gornatai, Radha Balava, Krishna Baladev, Subhadra, Lord Jagannath, Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada. I caught you. If you like sweets, I would just give you